morning, church.
Good morning.
Our Bible reading for today is taken from the book of Proverbs, chapter number 3, which is found on page 528 in the church of the Church Bible. We are reading from the verse 13 to the last verse. Proverbs 3, 13 to 35. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom, and the one who gets understanding. For the gain from her is better than the gain of silver, and her profit better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand, and in her left are riches and honor. Her ways are the ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her, to those who hold her fast are called blessed. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth, by understanding he establishes the heavens. By his knowledge the deeps are broken, the deeps broke open, and the clouds drop down the dew. My son, do not lose sight of this. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, and they will be life to your soul and adornment for your neck. Then you will walk on your way with securely, and your foot will be not stumble. If you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror or of the ruins of the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence, and you will keep your foot and we keep your food from being caught. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to do it. Do not say to your neighbor, go and come back. Tomorrow I will give it when you have it with you. Do not plan evil against your neighbor who dwells trustingly beside you. Do not contend with a man for no reason when he has done no harm. Do not envy a man of violence, and do not choose any of his ways. For the devious person is an abomination to the Lord, but the upright are his confidence. The Lord's curse is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the dwelling of the righteous. Towards the scorners he is comfort, but the humble he gives favor. The wise will inherit honor, but fools get disgrace. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you, Funke, so much for reading the Bible for us just then. Please do keep your Bible open on page 528. We are in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 13 to 35. But I'm going to be focusing mainly on verses 13 to 26. But let's pray as we start. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts and meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, the big movie of the year, of the summer, is The Odyssey. Now, I make no apologies for any spoilers here. I'm not really going to say any spoilers, but, you know, the book's been out for 3,500 years or 2,500 years or whatever, so we're well beyond the time where I need to apologize for any spoilers. The story of The Odyssey is about Odysseus, a Greek man who is trying to return home. He's been in Troy, and he's trying to return home to the good life he had back in Ithaca with his wife and his son. It's a movie, a story that's all about longing, about yearning for that place where life would be better. For Odysseus, it was getting home. But what is it for us? You see, we might not be traveling on a boat across Greek waters, but we are all longing to be somewhere. We're all longing for something. We're longing for the good life. Where is the good life found? Where are you looking for true happiness, for flourishing, for security? Where is the good life found for you? Now, if the answer doesn't immediately come to mind, well, finish off this sentence for yourself. Finish off this sentence. My life would really begin if only dot, dot, dot. My life would really begin if only dot, dot, dot. You see, every one of us has an answer to that question about where the good life is found. It's different for each and every one of us. Maybe it's a house. Maybe it's marriage or family or children. Maybe it's a career or a better job. Maybe it's financial security. Maybe for you, it's the leave to remain. Or maybe for you, it's finally leaving to go somewhere better. Maybe it's the right exam results to get into the right uni. Maybe it's better health. Maybe it's more freedom. Maybe it's success at last. Now look, none of those things are bad. But the danger comes when we expect that happiness, true deep happiness and security will come from them. Because here's the thing. Olympic gold medalists often tell of the anticlimax that comes after winning their medal. The retired Olympian swimmer Michael Phelps, who some years back became the most successful Olympic athlete with 28 gold medals. That's quite a lot of gold medals. He said this. This is a quote. Michael Phelps said, "As Olympians, you set 4 years to build up to this moment. And then, after it's over, you're kind of lost in a way. You don't really know what to do. You don't know where to go. You don't know who to talk to." And then another time, he said, after every Olympics, and he won multiple golds at each, after every Olympics, I think I fell into a major state of depression. That's Michael Phelps, the most successful Olympian. Jim Carrey, if you're into his movies, he's a famous actor. He once observed this. He said it after achieving extraordinary wealth and fame. Jim Carrey said, "I think everybody should get rich and famous and do everything they ever dreamed of so that they can see that it's not the answer." And so we come to this passage in Proverbs, and we come back to that question. Where is the good life found? How do you get true happiness? How do you get true security? How do you get that flourishing that we all want? Well, let's get into our Bible. Page 528, chapter 3 of Proverbs, starting at verse 13. And we're going to see in our first section that true happiness comes from finding wisdom. So have a look down there at chapter 3, verse 13. It says this, "Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding." Now that Hebrew word there that's translated blessed has a very deep, rich meaning. It's not merely being blessed, nor is it just being shown favor by God, but it includes that there's more to this word that's going on there. It's like an iceberg where there's riches and depths below the water. You see, there's a sense here of having a deep happiness and joy. It's not talking about mere emotions, nor about a blessing which you're not really that happy to have. No, this is talking about something you feel when you find God's wisdom and you get understanding. Imagine a couple on their wedding day standing here at the front. They're thrilled to be there. When you're standing in the pews, you look forward, you see the groom's face. He's thrilled to be there. And if you're standing at the front, you get to see the bride come in as well. They're both thrilled to be there. They have a deep joy and happiness. They're glad to have found each other. That is what's going on here in this word, blessed. It's the thrill of the romantic movie. It's the thrill of dating. It's the thrill of getting married. Now, what's interesting when we read this chapter, and I don't know if you noticed it when Olafunke was reading it out, wisdom is described as a woman. Now, these early chapters of Proverbs are written by Solomon to his adolescent teenage son. And here in chapter 3, we get this point. There's kind of a double entendre going on here where you're not quite sure if we're talking about wisdom as a thing or wisdom as a woman who embodies wisdom. Either way, Solomon gives three reasons why the person who finds wisdom is so happy. And the first one we see is down there in verses 14 to 15. And we see here the value of wisdom. Just by yourself, have a quick read of verses 14 and 15 and see if you can spot the different ways that wisdom's value is described. Did you spot the way that Solomon keeps reaching for comparisons and then keeps on running out of comparisons? Did you spot that down there in verses 14 and 15? Verse 14, he says that wisdom is better than silver, better than gold. Verse 15, more precious than jewels. Nothing you could desire compares with her. You see, Solomon runs out of ways to describe how valuable wisdom is. He stretches language to its limits because he wants to stretch our imagination. Friends, whatever it is that you've been telling yourself will finally make life really begin for you. Wherever you think that the good life is, wisdom itself is worth so much more. There's no comparison. Secondly, we see the benefits of wisdom down there in verses 16 to 18. Verse 16, wisdom opens her hands. And do you see what she holds there? She holds long life. She holds honor, pleasantness, peace. And then Solomon reaches for the biggest image he can find. Down there in verse 18. Did you see it down there? She is a tree of life. You see, Solomon's reminding us of what we lost back in the early chapters of the Bible, what we were forced to leave behind in Eden. And he's drawing our eyes forward towards what we're longing for in eternity at the end of the Bible. He's saying that wisdom is a tree of life. This is the tree that gives everlasting life, the tree that gives healing, the tree that gives life the way that it always should have been. Solomon is saying that wisdom leads you back towards the life you were created to enjoy. So again, whatever you think will make your life really begin, no, wisdom only can give that. Thirdly, we see down in verses 19 to 20 what wisdom does. So have a look down at verses 19 to 20. We see there that the Lord founded and established creation by wisdom. He's saying by wisdom, by understanding, by knowledge, God created and sustained all that we see around us. This world wasn't created randomly. God created it wisely. So using his wisdom, using his knowledge and understanding, God set up all the physical and biological and chemical processes to create all that we see around us, to make them exist, to make them flourish, because that's what wisdom does. It establishes and sustains. It makes things flourish. Do you see how Solomon is describing wisdom? You're starting to see the picture that he's painting. Incomparable value. Life as it should be. Bringing things out of nothing and making them flourish. Solomon has made wisdom sound pretty good right now, hasn't he? Made her sound pretty beautiful, hasn't he? And he's saying that the good life can only be found from finding this wisdom. But where do we find her? Well, the answer in the New Testament is rather surprising, because you don't find wisdom in a philosophy. You don't find wisdom in 12 rules to live or in the advice columns. You find wisdom in a person, and his name is Jesus. Paul says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 3, that in Jesus are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Treasures beyond compare. The Scottish minister Samuel Rutherford wrote some 400 years ago that if you were to put the beauty of 10,000 worlds of paradise together, if you'd put all those worlds of paradise together, they are but one drop of rain falling from Christ. All the treasures of wisdom in Jesus. So where do you find the good life? True happiness and flourishing come in finding wisdom, in finding Jesus, the wisdom of God. You get the good life when you find this wisdom, when you find Jesus. So that's our first point. The true happiness comes from finding wisdom. In our second point, verses 21 to 26, we see that security comes from sticking with wisdom. Not just finding, but sticking with it. I wonder, have you ever found something only to lose it quickly afterwards? A few nods, embarrassed nods around the room. If you have children or nieces or nephews, you'll know what it's like. The toy, the bottle, the jumper gets lost, then found, then lost again, then found. It's kind of a never-ending cycle. You see, it's one thing to find the good life. It's another thing to keep a hold of it. So have a look down at verses 21 to 22 with me. Verse 21 says this, "My son," so that's Solomon talking to his son, "my son, do not lose sight of these. Keep sound wisdom and discretion." So having seen how wonderful wisdom is, well, why on earth would you not want to stick with this wisdom? Well, the answer of the Bible is because, well, have a look down at verse 31 with me. Verse 31 says, "Do not envy a man of violence and do not choose any of his ways." Why not stick with him? Because it's very easy to envy. You see, despite the amazing riches of happiness through finding Christ, it's really easy to not stick with him. It's not just that we have wandering hearts and wandering eyes, always looking for something better. No, we also want something in which we feel secure, something in which we are safe. We don't just want a life of pleasure, we want a life where we are secure. So we look for the good life where we don't have to worry. We look for it where we don't have to depend on anyone else. So we tell ourselves, if I can just get enough money in the bank, or if I can just get my children to turn out all right, if I can just get the leave to remain, if I can just get the right diagnosis or the right treatment, then I'll be secure. Then I'll have the good life. But the problem is that none of those things can bear the weight of that, can they? The money might run out. The children might make their own decisions. Health might change. You see, life is fragile, isn't it? Even those things that we think will give us the good life, they are fragile. So have a look down at Proverbs 3, verse 21, because the logic continues here. Have a look down at verse 21 with me. Verse 21 says, if you don't just find wisdom, but if you also don't lose sight of her, if you don't just get wisdom, but also keep her and keep holding fast to her, then, verse 23, then various things will happen. Just have a look down by yourself at verses 23 to 26 and see if you can spot that word will. Can you spot it down there? Just read it by yourself and just see if you can spot the word will in verses 23 to 26. There are three expressions of security here that come not just from finding wisdom, but from sticking with it. And they're all marked out with that word will. So have a look at verse 23. Verse 23 says, "Then you will walk on your way securely, and your foot will not stumble." So the first reason we're given to stick with wisdom is down there, verse 23. It says, if you stick with wisdom, then you'll walk securely rather than stumble. Now, this is not a promise of an easy life or an easy path, but it's the confidence that comes from knowing you're walking on the kind of path that God wants you to be on. Wisdom doesn't spare you from suffering. We all know that. But it keeps you from losing your footing when suffering comes. Have a look down at verse 24 with me. Verse 24 says, if you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. So the second thing that we're given to stick, second reason we're given to stick with wisdom is that if we stick with wisdom, then we'll have sweet sleep rather than fearful nights. Now look, this is not a guarantee against insomnia or against anxiety, but it does mean that when we stick with God's wisdom, we can have a settled confidence that allows us to rest because our lives are in God's hands. The third reason is down there in verses 25 to 26. Verse 25 says, do not be afraid of sudden terror or of the ruin of the wicked when it comes, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. You see, if you stick with wisdom, then you can have confidence rather than fear, because the Lord is with you. That's not because danger disappears. We'll take a look at verse 25, and we see that the terror and ruin do come. But the Lord never deserts us, and he is our confidence. That's a promise that Jesus himself echoes at the end of Matthew, when he says, I am always with you until the end of the age. So the safest place is not where trouble never comes, but where the Lord never leaves. Find wisdom, cling to wisdom, and wisdom will cling to you and hold you secure. But, have you spotted the but? Because it sounds wonderful, but there's a big but here. Because Solomon is really bold here in this bit of Proverbs, isn't he? He's saying that wisdom will bring life, riches, honor, pleasantness, and peace and security. It's saying that with wisdom, you will get the good life. But if that's true, what happens when we meet the wisest man that ever lived? Because Jesus did Proverbs perfectly. Each and every one of these he kept. But whereas Proverbs promises honor, Jesus was spat on. Whereas Proverbs promised riches, Jesus had to borrow. He had to borrow a boat, a donkey, a room. He even had to borrow a tomb. Whereas Proverbs promises pleasant paths, Jesus, the wisest man ever, well, his path took him to the cross. Proverbs promises long life, but Jesus died young. You see, if Jesus is wisdom, and if Proverbs is true, why didn't Proverbs work for him? Why does Jesus not get the good life that Proverbs promises? If we're honest, and it's always a good thing to be honest, if we're honest, when we look at Jesus' life, it looks like Proverbs has failed. Doesn't it? But it hasn't. Because Jesus deserved honor, but instead he took shame. Jesus deserved life, but instead he took death. Jesus deserved peace, but instead he took God's punishment. Jesus deserved blessing, but he took the curse. You see, those are the things that we deserve for not living out Proverbs. And Jesus took each and every one of them. And he took them so that he might give us what belongs to him. You see, the wisest man gave away everything that wisdom deserved. The blessings here aren't broken promises. They're ours because they're his. Enjoyed in part now, but enjoyed in fullness when we see Jesus face to face, when we finally and forever find wisdom and never lose sight of him. You see, the safest and happiest place, the good life, is to not be where there is no trouble. The safest and happiest place, the good life, is to be wherever the Lord Jesus is and where he never leaves us. So where is the good life found? That was the question we asked at the start. Proverbs chapter 3 says that it's not found in having more, it's not found in achieving more, it's not found in controlling your future. Now, Proverbs 3 says to us that the good life is found in finding and sticking with Jesus. Sticking with Jesus, who is the one for whom the world was made, the one in whom all the treasures of wisdom are hidden, the one who hung on a tree of death so that we might eat from the tree of life. So friends, where is the good life found? This bit of the Bible says to us this morning that the happiest person in Sheffield this morning is not the wealthiest, not the healthiest, not the safest or the most successful or the person with the best holidays or the biggest car. The happiest person in Sheffield this morning is the person who's found Jesus Christ, the wisdom of God, and refuses to let him go. We're going to take a few moments for quiet reflection. Musicians, if you're able to come forward and get ready to lead us in our final song. That question that I asked at the start, where is the good life found? Perhaps you want to think about that for a second. Perhaps you want to think about where you've been looking to find the good life. And perhaps you want to take this opportunity to say sorry for the ways that you've been looking for the good life apart from Jesus. And perhaps you want to ask for the Holy Spirit's help that this week you might look for true happiness in Jesus and true security in sticking with him. A few moments for quiet reflection. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the wonderful Lord Jesus, who is the wisest man who ever lived, who gave away everything that he earned and that we don't deserve. Thank you that he gives us honor, life, peace, and blessing. Thank you that he died in order to give us those things. And we pray that we would seek true happiness and true security only in the Lord Jesus. Help us to be realistic that we won't see those things fully in this life. So help us to keep on sticking with him until that moment when we see him face to face. Amen. Let's stand and let's sing of the goodness of that wonderful Lord Jesus.